Well, hello, and welcome to Watch What Crap Is, a podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on ye old bravs, okay? I'm Ronnie Karam. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram, because that's all I'm doing right now, okay? Nothing extra. But I'm here with the gorgeous, talented, Hanukkah'd up, something day of Hanukkah, beautiful eyes, beautiful hair, but more importantly, what a soul, am I right? Mr. Ben Mandelker of The Real Housewares of Kitchen Island on YouTube and the Game Brain Podcast on the internet. Hi, Ben.
Love that. Thank you.
Ben,
thank
the Game
you.
Brain love Podcast. That. I love that for you.
Love that.
Everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens on Demand Day, which means we are on video today. Video recorder.
I know. If you get to see Bueller. Bueller was like doing a little dance behind you, Ronnie.
He was
so adorable. Yeah, he was like rearranging himself on the pillow while you were doing that intro, and it was just like the cutest thing I've seen since last night when I watched Our Planet.
Oh, I love that show.
I know.
But God, that show gets so depressing. Oh, it's like it's all happy and hilarious and like dancing birds. And then, like a whale eats a baby penguin or whatever, and I'm done for.
There were so many times when I was watching it where I was like, oh, I bet Ronnie cried at this part.
Yes, like, I keep crying.
Because there's that one shot where the whale does eat a penguin, an orca eats a penguin, and like before the penguin like goes down under the waves, the penguin like looks at the camera like, are you not going to help me? No?
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're just going to watch me? This entire crew just watches me get slaughtered? Yeah, I do cry, and I watch it with my niece. She says, that's watching nature shows, so we watch that together. And I cry, and she's like, dude, it's the circle of life, uncle. Okay? That's what happens.
It is the circle of life. Much like how there... You know, I'll tell you what's another circle of life. It's the Sundance Film Festival.
Isn't
you know,
it?
Every year, wannabes come to Park City. They get discovered. They go off. They make a film. It gets released in 3 theaters. And then they come back as waiters. It's amazing. It's the circle of life.
The circle of waiting tables.
Yeah.
This episode was very Sundance-y, and there's this, like a huge movie preview. And Jen's like, oh, my brother, his movie, his film, it's screening at Sundance. It's screening in your living room, okay?
Yeah.
That is not the same. I mean, of course, you know, whatever. I've played on Broadway, okay? Because we stayed in New York and, like, literally stayed on Broadway one time.
We did.
And so I played on Broadway. And I'm sticking to it.
Yeah, well, it's like James on Vanderpump Rules when they went to Mexico and they were at a club. And then he asked the DJ to play his song. He's like, I just played Mexico. I just played Mexico.
Yeah, you know that shit's going on my own self-edited IMDb page.
Listen, I always try to. Like, you know, I'm still talking about how when we played at the 930 Club in D.C., I'm like, we played the same venue as Adele. Okay, we basically are Adele at this point. Because Adele played there once, like, many, many, many years ago. Like, when she was... You know, not known. And so I'm like, yeah, we follow the footsteps of Adele. So I get it.
Oh, gosh. But yeah, this is a very thirsty episode. And you know it's a really super thirsty episode because fucking Lala shows up. I mean, it doesn't get more straight to video than Lala showing up.
Well, she's showing up because she has a very important film called Spree that was premiering at Sundance. And as we all know, Spree... is about a person who has to buy as many fried chicken breasts for her fiance in 24 hours, otherwise a bomb will go off. Spree, in theater soon.
Well, let's see here. Rotten Tomatoes, Spree, 2020. Let's see how this is. It looks like I think it's like one of those home video films.
Oh, found footage.
It's a youngster. Yeah, it's a youngster, a kid, holding it looks like maybe a 3D printed gun, or is it a glue gun? Or a screw gun? I don't know. And he's got blood on his face. It got a 62% audience score rating, which isn't so bad. Let's see some of these reviews here.
Is that the guy from Stranger Things? I think it is. But you know the guy, Ted, or whatever? He was like the boyfriend that everyone loves his hair.
No, I don't know. I couldn't get into that show. Didn't really get it. One of the kids is too much like... the whole thing was a little Goonies to me, which I guess is the point of that show. But the Goonies, I don't know. Everyone turned out to be so depressing, like, later on in life, you know? He looked like the kid who... Michael Jackson. He was, like, he was affiliated
Macaulay
with
Culkin?
Michael Jackson. No, you're close, though. He's older. He's from that vampire movie.
Toby
with
McGuire.
The teenage vampire movie.
Teenage vampire movie. Robert Pattinson.
Why am I so stupid?
Twilight.
teenage vampire movie.
Twilight.
People are hitting their steering wheel so hard right now.
Is it not Twilight?
Am I even bringing this
up? Tom Cruise, Brad Pitt.
No, from like Kirsten our Dunst. Generation. Like an old
movie. Lost Boys.
Lost Boys. Corey Feldman.
Kiefer Sutherland.
Corey Feldman.
Oh, okay.
There's that one kid in... And what show were you just talking about? You guys, I'm not even stoned.
Stranger Things.
Yes, there's that one kid who gives me Corey Feldman vibes, and it makes me really uncomfortable to watch it. You know which kid I'm talking about? The kid with the curly hair. He's like the dorky one.
On Stranger Things?
The goofy-looking one. Yeah, on Stranger Things. He gives me Corey Feldman vibes, yeah. And I can't watch it. And you guys, that took me literally 5 minutes to get out. I'm so sorry. If you stop this podcast right now, don't even blame you. Stop it.
Still think it's strange. I'll tell you what's a Stranger Thing. The fact that I've actually seen Stranger Things all the way through, and you haven't. That's so bizarre, because I don't like scary things. And don't even tell me. Well, it's not even that scary.
It's not scary.
tell that to Barb, okay? The point is this.
God, Barb. I saw Barb in like one episode, and I was like, she gone. She's dead.
Spoiler for those latecomers to the franchise. I will say this, though. I watch all of Stranger Things, and then I watch the first two or three episodes of the second season, and like, too many pumpkins. I just was like, I'm done.
Well, listen to this review. I love coming to Rotten Tomatoes, because talk about thirsty. Like the self-reviewers, you know, who like try to use really flowery language to make them sound bigger than they are. Okay, although the screenplay is rife with ungainly dialogue and paper-thin characterization, the film's events do have an authentic air of live-streamed late capitalist chaos. Shut the fuck up,
okay, Katie
dude.
Maloney. Thank you, Katie Maloney Schwartz, for submitting that user review on Rotten Tomatoes, which is also the state of her refrigerator.
That is absolutely a Katie review.
Convenient narrative by Katie Maloney.
Of a documentary film made of found footage from the bottom of a ranch jar. A ranch bottle.
Found Valley Ranch. So, Found Footage Valley Ranch.
Well, it's going to be that kind of a day, guys. We were just talking before we came on how it's so close to Christmas and everyone else has gone on break. Like, my family's like, woohoo, party! Like, everyone's on break, saying, like, let's get together and watch a movie, Uncle. And, you know, we're not yet till next week. We've got a lot on our list to do before next week, so now we're just like, fuck it, okay? We're going to be like this through the rest of the year.
We sat down to record an hour ago, and I was like, Ronnie, I'm just, like, ready to get into the weekend. I'm just ready. And we chatted before we started recording for an hour about all sorts of stuff. We got ourselves mad. We laughed at things. We were gossiping. Like, you would think that there is no weekend.
Yeah. But, don't have to get to it anytime soon. Okay, but we are here for Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Very thirsty episode. Help your children. Take your children to the work that you bought them kind of a day.
This is also what's really special about this episode is that Salt Lake City now is an official Real Housewives episode, in that they're trying to launch a regional fashion week and make it seem like it's, you know, on the level of Milan or Paris or New York, which is something that we get to see. We see that in various cities, and it's always adorable when it happens. So here we are at Park City, not even Salt Lake City Fashion Week. It's Park City Fashion Week.
Yep, Park City
Fashion. It's like having like Killington Fashion Week in Vermont or something. Like I know Park City's huge for like 2 weeks a year, but I mean.
Yeah, whatever. From what we've seen of Park City Fashion so far.
Park City Fashion Week, emphasis on week.
Yeah.
W-E-A-K.
Let's find a different way to mix feathers and fur. Let's try and find, and spandex.
And by the way, this is not coming from any elitist place, okay? I live in Los Angeles, and Los Angeles has no Fashion Week either. Los Angeles has tried to have Fashion Week, and it was terrible too, okay? There are just certain places that have established that where they have the Fashion Weeks, and there's just no other Fashion Weeks out there, okay?
Listen, I'm wearing a shirt with a bird on it and like some kind of a hat, and it says, stay cool. Okay, so that's where I'm coming from. So I'm not judging your Fashion Week. I'm just judging you for having a Fashion Week because you don't deserve one.
Yeah.
How's that sound? Okay, so Sundance Film Festival. Let's start with the Sundance Queen, Lisa Barlow. I have so much to do today. So many events. There's so many events around Sundance.
There's the CNN Lounge. There's the WME Lounge. New York Magazine Party. I mean, when do we have the meet and greet with at Twist Lounge? At the Vita Lounge? I need to know what the lounge is. Can I touch? Can I touch the lounge?
And her husband is sleeping while she's going over her to-do list. And she's like, are you going to stay asleep? Are you up for it? Are you up for it? Are you going to stay asleep?
I love that. I love that you're sleeping. I love that. Can you wake up? Can you wake up?
Then we go to Heather's house. And Heather is pretty much the mother I would be if it were possible for me to get pregnant on accident and push out little gingers. She opens the dishwasher and she's like, who loaded this dishwasher? Because there's literally a bowl with oatmeal in it. I'm just going to run it again.
The oatmeal's not going anywhere.
The oatmeal's not going. What are you trying to exfoliate your dishwasher? Take the fucking bowl out of the dishwasher.
And then exfoliate your dishwasher. And then we go to Meredith's house where she's like trying on something and her like her son is there and her friend is there. And I think her son is like, give us a walk. Yum. Because Meredith is like being fashionable on everything, you know, because she's there with Mikhail Maddox, a fashion designer from Park City.
I think Angelina Jolie probably has children with with both of those names, right? Like yeah. A Mikhail, a Maddox. And this dress is hideous. And Meredith is a very beautiful one. And let's not forget, very regal. Meredith is very regal.
Well, she's so elegant.
So elegant.
I mean, like, I just look at her, I'm like, look at all that elegance dripping out. Of course there's, how could I doubt that there would be a Park City Fashion Week? There's someone so elegant who's part of it. Of course there is.
And it's like an Addams Family dress. It's really weird. This is a Katie Maloney dress, by the way. It's like a long black dress with the big long sleeves that hang to the ground. And it looks crazy. And Kim's like, come on now. We have all the world's eyes looking at us.
Yes, I'm sure that all the producers from Hollywood who went to Sundance are like, ooh, I hear that Greta Gerwig is having a party, but I can't go to it because there's a fashion show by the locals. All the world's eyes are going to be here at the Vita Lounge.
And Meredith's like, so is Brooks your youngest designer for this thing coming up? And Brooks is like, ew, mom. She's like, you're going to walk in this, all right, Brooks? You're going to walk in the fashion show.
Oh, I'm walking? Mom, why did you not tell me about that? I would have started a juice cleanse like last week.
This is Brooks's episode, by the way. This is like the only thing I really need from Brooks is this episode to make me happy that he's on this show. Because, you know, I've been on the fence. But this one, I mean, exfoliating himself to the point where he looks like a Chucky doll, first of all.
Porcelain.
I mean, he really does. He just looks crazy. He looks like a 70-year-old inside like a little tiny young body because he's exfoliated his face so much. And then just walking around the house going, what the hell?
What the hell? I can't tell if he's just like a monster or if he's like a gift. Or maybe both. And I go back and forth. So I've decided I'm going to take it on a scene-by-scene basis. Some scenes I will probably be like, I love this kid. And some scenes I'll be like, someone get this kid a job.
So then we go to Jen's office, and there's like a little placard on a desk that says, just a girl boss building her power.
By creating stationery that says that. And it's at the Shot Squad Marketing, and she's like roller skating around the office and wearing a tiara and going, Stuart! Stuart! Stuart!
God.
Stuart?
Jen is trying harder than Perry Mason, okay? Like, literal back-to-back trial. Hello. This girl is trying. This is too much, Jen. Calm down, okay? I don't need you roller skating and hula hooping in a fucking tiara. And I don't need it. Just stop. Take her back. I'm done with Jen.
I resent the idea that the law is hard for Perry Mason. I think that Perry Mason does his job with a lot of ease.
No, he goes to a lot of trials.
Oh, yeah.
He tries cases, you see.
Yeah.
He tries them hard.
Okay, I get it. I see. It's working on a different level. I was like, how dare you discredit Perry Mason's legal chops? So
no, he's always in a trial. That's what I mean. He literally tries hard. He's like trying a lot. He's very busy. I just watched Perry Mason on HBO, everybody. I'm sorry. Yeah,
I stick with the classic Raymond Burr version.
Would you say I'm sorry?
I stick with the classic Raymond Burr. I will not partake in any updated non-Raymond Burr version.
It's not of Perry great. Mason. Not going to lie. The new Perry Mason.
Is there going to be like a new Columbo also? Like, can we get that as well?
And could someone please call me to play him? Because
but I don't I've want been... like a Cillian Murphy Columbo, okay? Because you know that's what it's going to be. It's going to be like emo.
Rondell Caram Columbo. I'll be like, you fucking did it, lady. Just say you did it so we can have a drink. Okay,
Are you comfortable wearing a trench coat?
Do you think you could do that? Yes. I don't have to like fucking zip it up around my, you know, my fupa. So yes, mm-hmm. I wear a trench coat. It's the closest thing to a robe you can wear in public.
Where do we stand on Kojak?
Was he bald too?
Actually, he was bald. That was Terry What's-His-Face. But he always had a lollipop, which I found to be very annoying.
Like, I don't need
you sucking a lollipop in my face while you're doing your job.
I would have that because I have my oral fixation, like the little vape or, yeah. You know, eat or a pizza, you know.
What's his name, like Terry Vidalis or something like that?
Yeah, Terry. Don't start this with me again, okay?
Terry Savalas.
Yeah, we've already put these people through our opening, which was hell to get through. I don't even want to
think about it. Jen has gotten to the point where she's making us talk about Terry Savalas. Okay, and that's like, that's not good.
Jen is terrible. She's a tryhard. It's hard to watch her, and I need her off my fucking TV immediately.
What are the odds that next season on Salt Lake City, they'll be like, this is Janet. And she's like, my name's Janet. A lot of people know me from my father, Terry Savalas. You know there's going to be someone like that. Growing up, being the daughter of Terry Savalas was difficult because a lot of people focus on him and not me. But now I'm stepping out for making my own path.
And her name is Terry.
And everyone's like, no one cares that your dad was Terry Savalas. I know, but it's hard being Terry Savalas' daughter. It's like, no one cares.
Hi, I'm Terry. So Jen keeps roller skating around the office talking about how hard she works. Why does she have an office? What's going on here? Does Jen have a company?
It's Shaw Squad Marketing.
Come on.
She markets something. Maybe she actually just builds markets. She makes like little markets and she sells carrots.
I'm not really buying it, but she's like, you know, usually at the office we would do conference meetings, planning, forecasting, but this is Sundance week, so we have to get into party mode, and that's what we're doing today.
I'm like, you're rolling around in roller skates, falling over in your Wayfair bar stools. Okay,
yeah. So
like, you're not getting into party mode. You're just wasting time right now.
She's like, yeah, well, we need to get that list together for our Sundance party. And it's only party people, okay? It's very VIP. It's like, no, it's not. You are so ridiculous. You're having a party at your house during Sundance. Give me a fucking break, lady.
I know. You don't have Timothy Chalamet coming over. So whatever his name is. Isn't it Chalamet, Shamalama? So Stuart's like, all right, so here are the parties. There's Justin's party. There's Murda's fashion show. They are getting in a new delivery of Pirate's Booty at the convenience store. So you know Mary won't be there, so there's that. I think that's pretty much for our party roster.
Yeah, she tells us that her cousin, Tony something, is a filmmaker, and he's screening his documentary at Sundance this year. So it's pretty big, guys. And I'm like, wow, this is cool. Which we find out at the end is like him playing a video of his movie in her living room for some people.
I want to know, because I don't want to shade him because he was adorable and I'm like proud of him for making a documentary. But I also want to know, what was it, a short documentary? Short? Did he make people stand for 2 hours in that living room? I'm like really curious. And I don't know how to spell his name. So I'm having a hard time like looking it up. It's like Tony Banuku.
I wrote Tony Baduku. That's what I wrote. But who knows? So she's like, so, hey, Stuart, remember we went to that party like 2 years ago and you got drunk and you were rapper Stew Chains? Don't be ashamed of Stew Chains. Bring out Stew Chains. And he's like, I'd really rather forgot that. Can we go to lunch? Well,
you guys nailed it. I know you guys were planning that scene for probably a few days. You nailed it. Great job, Stew Chains.
Yeah. Yikes. Lisa, I mean, Jen. too much.
Oh my God. Can we go over to my event space now? Oh God, there's stools. I love these stools. I love that. These are great. I love them because they're better than a high row because you can fit more people around it, actually. I love that. I love these stools.
Because these stools, I love these stools. Because they're hybrid stools. Like, you could stand and lean on the stool, or you could sit on the stool, or you could stand around the stool. They're hybrids.
You know what I love about a hybrid stool? They use much less gasoline than a regular stool.
Unfortunately, at the end, you have to figure out where you're going to bury the battery, because that could ruin the earth. Duh.
Okay, that picture on the wall, I don't love it. It has to go. All right, that has to go. Okay, because I have media going on the TVs. I have media, okay? I love that. Can I touch? Can I touch? Okay, one hand is on hybrid stool. One hand is on media TV. I love that.
My marketing company looks like it's Lux Marketing. I'm so busy. I've 10 days straight of multiple business parties, parties with businesses, stores, hybrid stores, regular stores. You know what? It's not for everyone, but I love it.
It's Sundance Week, so everyone has all their eyes. The world's eyes are on my stools. So I have to have the best stools for the world's eyes that are on it right now, Timothy Chalamet.
Some people call me the Queen of Sundance, but I just think that I'm really good at what I do. Queen of Sundance, that's me. I'm the Queen of Sundance.
I have a bombshell revelation for all of you guys right now. My upbringing is the reason I am the way I am. I'm like, yeah, that usually is what upbringings are.
That's how that works.
That's how upbringings
yeah,
work.
So she's like, yeah, that's why I'm the way that I am. And it cuts to her going, see that table between the womb chairs? Let's kill that.
I love that. I love that. I love that not table space. Let's kill the table, okay? I just threw the table at the window of my car.
Did you just have a table abortion? She's like, that thing between the wombs, kill it. It's like, jeez. What a harsh way to put it.
I'm one of six children, and I learned that if I wanted more, I had to work harder, okay? This is all going away. I don't love this. Don't love it. I love it that it's going away, but I don't love it that it's still here. I don't love it. Love it. I love it and don't love it. Queen of Sundance.
One of the things I love about the LDS church is there's a constant pressure to be your best self. And I love the standards I've set for myself. I love it. I love my standards.
My standards are up here, which is actually the same height as a hybrid stool.
John's here in a U-Haul. John, you're so not loving this, aren't you?
Can I touch the U-Haul? Can I touch? Can I touch? So he's like, just two tables and four chairs. Two tables and four chairs. I feel like she just walks around her house just saying that. Two tables and four chairs. Two tables and four chairs.
Yeah, she's like, get rid of that. Kill the table. Hybrid stools. Media. I love media. Love that. Love that. Love that for you.
I love that. I love that.
So John tells us, well, we own everything together, but Lisa is my boss. And every day that ends in a Y.
John's the best because I would not do that for him. I would not bring love that chairs for him, but he brings love that chairs for me. I love that about his love that chairs.
So he's helping her and she's like, yeah, you're doing so great. And he's like, sorry, I'm keeping you. She's like, keeping me? You're helping me. You're helping me. I'm not paying you though. Rolex in a snowbank.
I love that. I love that you're helping me so much. I love that about me, that I can inspire you to help me.
I love my standards.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's commercial.
So then we go to Whitney, and she's with her husband, and she's using like one of those gold knives from Home Goods. I don't know. She's like the kind of trashy I'm totally into, because I think I would party with this girl.
Yeah, I actually feel like Whitney would be so fun, but I just feel like she's so hilariously stilted when she does her... I feel like she's, like, not comfortable on camera, and I feel like we see different sides of her in different venues. Like sometimes she's, like, very carefree and open, and other times she's just, like... I feel like she's, like, acting as if she's on the stand or something. She's, like, very, like...
Yeah.
So she's invited Jen to come over for a hot tub party. So Jen shows up, and Stuart's there with her too. Stuart came too, but then he leaves. So I was sort of sad that we didn't get to see more of Stu Chains. So they're going to get ready to go hang out in the hot tub.
And Jen's like, do you like it? I'm in snake skin. Wait till you see my suit. I've got furry boots and a lingerie swimsuit. I'm like, oh God, Jen, Jesus, can you just do one scene without being like this? So she gets in the hot tub, and Whitney's trying to be all positive, of course, and she's having a party for her husband, Rush Limbaugh, Justin, from like 10 years ago. And Jen's like, so who's going to be on the party bus with us? And Whitney's like, well, you, me, Heather are going to be on the bus, and then the other girls are going to meet us, and it's going to be so fun. And Jen's like, oh, really? Well, except for Mary Crosby. She sucks. She never brings it. She's like AARP. She's going to be like, no. Mary Crosby sucks.
And Whitney's like, I've said it once and I'll say it again. I'm not about choosing teams. She also tells, Whitney also informs us the reason behind this party. She says, well, Justin turns 52 this year and his birthday is always at the start of Sundance. And she's going, I'm going to go all out for him because he's given up so much to be with me. He gave up his church, his ex-wife, sense of fashion, children, everything. And I want to show him that I'm really grateful for him. And I'm like, that's really nice, but like, I hope he's doing the same for you, Whitney. Okay? Make sure it's going two ways.
Oh, man, I'm sure it is. Are you kidding? This guy's fucking psyched. I love that she acts so shocked that this like older, chubby, bald guy would leave his wife for a young, hot, blonde secretary. That is hilarious to me. She's like, he gave up everything for me. His ex-wife, even. It's like, yeah.
Yeah, that's how the relationships generally work. But
yeah, I wouldn't get too psyched if I were you.
I wouldn't get too psyched if I were her, because let's not forget that the entire series began with their wedding vow renewal. So they already started with a ticking clock.
That's true, yeah. And they've got that kind of relationship where she's like, yeah, I'm so open, I'm partying, yeah, look at me, take shots off my stomach, I'm gonna twerk on him, yeah, I'm getting a stripper pole, and I'm getting a party van with a stripper pole, it's so fun, we're so open. And then he falls in love with whoever you're in a third with, you know?
Yeah. And you know, next season's gonna be the season where she decides she wants to have a baby, and all this stuff goes out the window. So Whitney just, like, she just wants everyone at Justin's party. And, you know, Mary may be crazy, but she's still Whitney's friend. And Whitney wants her there. Because also, like, it's Mary and she's hilarious. You know, like, how do you not have Mary there? So you can, like, be like, oh, my God, look what Mary's doing.
Yeah,
you know?
And Jen won't stop. Whitney's like, I want to be positive. And she's like, no, because you know what, Mary? You may not agree with the words I use, but that's why I try to explain why I use the words I do. Because I didn't grow up with a silver spoon in my mouth, okay? So I'm like, you know what? Look at you. Like, you fuck your grandpa or whatever. But, you know, that's no reason for you to treat us like we're less than. I was like, do you even hear yourself?
I know. I love that it's now becoming so normalized that they say sentences like, whether you married your grandpa, your brother, who gives a shit? I'm like, I might give a shit, but that's fine. You heard it this time? You finally heard it this time?
Yeah.
It's like some folk dance.
Yes, I heard it, and I sang it for the entire day after that. I kept singing it.
It's like my favorite thing since the Summer House song.
Yeah.
So so now everyone's getting ready for the party, hence the And Meredith is calling. She's inviting Whitney to walk in Park City Fashion Show because, you know, the world has their eyes on Park City right now. So why not hire a totally inexperienced model?
Non-model. Well, there's not like a Wilhelmina that they can call up, you know? So Meredith is like,
there's a Wilhelmina. Their model industry, their model agency is like, well, I mean, you can have her. Well, I mean,
my son is jogging pants. Well, I mean,
hey, do you have any models? Well, I mean, I know this girl, Whitney. She has a hot tub.
Yeah.
See, I have a question for you. My friend's producing Park City Fashion Week and asked me to see if you'd be willing to walk. And Whitney's like, well, I am honored, but I have never walked in a show before. She's like, oh, come on. I mean, she'll give you a lesson. It's fucking Park City, all right?
And then I think it was Whitney who said this, like, wow, I mean, it was either Whitney or Meredith that basically said, wow, this could be the first Park City fashion show ever. So you're part of history.
So let's go to the Sha Chalet with Jen and her friend employees. They're putting on her makeup and just, like, snapping. I wonder if Jen gets her employees the same way that Watch What Happens Live gets their audience, their computer audience. Have you seen it? Like, they're
the monitors.
They get an online audience to come watch a show, like, from the webcams, and they just nod their heads. I wonder if they audition, because it cracks me up. Every single audience is like, mm-hmm. They're nodding the whole time, and then there's someone, like, waving their finger. Like, every single time, I'm telling you, someone waving their finger in the camera like this, and then there's always, like, two or three people doing this the whole time, snapping, just doing double snap claps. They're like, mm-hmm, girl, yeah, mm-hmm. That's funny. What Jen's friends are like. They're like, mm-hmm, snaps, yeah, mm-hmm, snappy, you go, snap. Girl. It's like, she doesn't even have to be saying anything.
Yeah, and she's like, well, guess what? When I have my Sundance party in the living room, Mary's not going to be on the list because she's not fun like that. she's not fun enough to be part of the documentary screening.
Yes, documentary screening in my living room
about a hip hop group in Salt Lake City.
Yeah. Did you see all the stuff with Brandi Redmond and her this week? And Jen.
Oh God. No.
So apparently, Brandi on her show, and this was, I think, a while ago, that she was saying,
I know someone from the Salt Lake City Housewives. Like, they know somebody who knows somebody. And I know that one of the ladies rents her house because, like, it's on the listings or something like that.
And Jen is like, oh, fuck you with your stupid red hair. Why don't you just be stupid and redheaded? Stupid, fuck you, bitch. Saying I'm a renter, bitch face, redhead, ginger bitch. Oh my God. Brandi, and I'm no fan of Brandi Redmond, but she didn't even say your name. And you came on here just calling her, like, you stupid with your stupid red hair.
Listen, you know what? It's just the way she was raised. Oh. So then funny. Meredith calls up Lisa. She's like, hi, Lisa. How's it going? Oh, my God. We have so much going on. So many things are happening. Hey. Hi, Sean. How are you? Hi, Sean. Just put that right there, Sean. What? Yeah, Sean, next to that. I love that. I love where you put that. Next, but now, look at this hybrid stool, Sean. What were you saying, Meredith?
Sean, is that a stool or a table? You don't know? It's a hybrid. Love that. Love that. Leave it there. Get rid of that womb table. Kill it. Okay? Kill the womb.
Well, all I'm just saying is that Park City.
Gotta go. Gotta go.
I love that. I love that, Sean. I can't hear you, Sean. You're breaking up. It's Meredith. Sean, why did you change your name to Meredith?
Yeah.
So then we go over to Mary's house, who's just crazy as hell. Mary, she's like, I've got my outfit ready. I'm going to wear these shoes. And Charlinda is there, and she's like, oh, they're so soft and plush. I love them. And she's like, let's get this party started. And Charlinda starts dancing around while Mary, like, badly beatboxes. And then Mary tells us about her relationship with Charlinda. She goes, Charlinda is my grandmother's brother's daughter, and she's been with me 20 something years, and I had Robert, and she came over to give Robert a present, and, like, she fell in love with him, and then so she never left. I mean, we're not close at all. I mean, like, I know nothing about her life. I mean, outside what she does for me.
But at the end of the day, we're family. I'm like, wait, what? None of this makes sense. So she's like your maid, but she's also your grandmother's brother's daughter. So that means she is like your...
Is that like a distant cousin?
No, it's like, it just means like your mom's cousin. right? Like her, so it's like your first cousin once removed. So she's basically like she's your cousin, and then you don't know anything about her, but she came over and you like let her stay, even though you don't really know her. But then you also hired her. Now she's also your maid. But you also still don't, after 20 years, you still know nothing about her except that she's your family. Like that, yes. Nothing makes sense about that.
I know. And I laughed so hard. Did you see the Mary stuff online this week? This has been a very
busy. There's more Mary stuff?
Well, the Mary stuff, yeah. It's too crazy to get into all of it. But this week's thing is leaked audio from her church where she's going off. And who knows? I think it's real. It sounds just like her. But it's leaked audio. And it's her yelling at her church. She's like, come on. I mean, I got 14 cars for my birthday. And she's preaching, so she's in, like, preacher voice, you know? It's like, 14 cars? I mean, what is this, a bunch of poor people? And she started yelling at her congregation for not buying her enough stuff for her birthday.
Wow.
Super classy stuff going on there.
So Heather FaceTimes in to see what's going on with Mary, etc., and asks if she's coming to Justin's and like if she's worried about running into Jen. And basically Mary is like, you know, like heavy blink, like, well, I want to be able to get along and cope. Like, you know, I don't like her, but I want to get along and cope. And hopefully that we can agree to something. Blink, blink, blink.
And this is how Heather is on FaceTime. She's like, hi.
Why is there oatmeal on my FaceTime?
So, you know, she's like, I'm going to try and work it out, whatever. So then I see Whitney's, a lot of stuff that you're pointing out I'm seeing now, and it's cracking me up. Like Whitney, white girl dancing in her little thing.
Yeah, her little,
what do you call that? The bottom of the screen.
She dances like thing. She's a Sims character. Like if you tell your Sims character to dance, she's like, Habba Devaga, Hada, Tara Ma. So then it's like now it's Justin's, it's like the pre-party. So they're partying at Whitney's place before they go up the mountain. And so, of course, Justin's doing a shot out of a tequila shot out of Whitney's navel. And I don't know about you, Ronnie. I don't know if you caught this. It was Casamiga's tequila.
Oh, yeah. No, it was Don Julio, wasn't it?
Oh, I thought I saw a Casamiga's bottle. The point is this, whatever it was, I definitely did not see Vida anywhere.
You know what? I think it's because she must have had Casamigos, and then at the next party, the lady's like, oh, I thought Lisa was coming. I even bought her tequila. And she's like, oh, no, she's not coming. So she breaks out the Don Julio instead. Love the vodka shade, or the tequila shade.
Yeah. I also, I'm so glad they did not hire those bartenders again. That could have been a real disaster.
They're probably Whitney's friends. I mean, Whitney's friends are kind of trash-tacular. It's like the people from Saddle Ranch. You know, it's like they just went to Saddle Ranch, put a bunch of people in a bus, and took them to Salt Lake City to shoot this.
When I was an Uber driver, I definitely encountered these groups of people in my car. Like,
yeah.
Like, very, like, nice, trashy party people. Like they're not obnoxious. They're like very nice people. They're party people, but they're trashy. And then you just have to sit there like, oh my God, these people are in my car and I'm in traffic and I'm stuck with them for an hour. And then by the end, you're friends with them. It's so weird.
Yeah, there's a lot of like blue collar weave.
I once had to take these people from like around 3rd Street over to a bar in Burbank. So the fact that they were just like that they were planning to leave Hollywood to go to a bar in Burbank also implied a lot. Like, okay. And I was like, these people are awful. And then we got stuck in traffic for so long. Like it was like a 90-minute Uber drive to just get to Burbank. And by the end, I loved them and they invited me in to go drink with them. And I was like, I'm sorry, I can't do that. It's unprofessional. But I'll always wonder where my life would have taken me had I just had a drink with the trashy party.
Oh my God, sliding doors, Gwyneth.
Sliding Burbank doors.
Yeah, these people are very like, we party, yeah, party. Two shots up my stomach, honey. Oh, guess what? We got a party bus. Oh my God, a party bus. Yeah. This is a stripper pulling a party bus. Let's all twerk on each other. Yeah, we're partying.
Really bad twerking. There actually was no stripper pole. I was bracing. I was like, here we go. Whitney's going to get on that pole. No, it felt like there would be one, but there was not.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they arrive, and Whitney tells us, every year we have fun. We have fun going up the canyon, and then we get to my friend Catherine's house, where we always get the VIP treatment. I don't know why I wrote that down. As
yeah, because that's what she said. And so it's a big ass house, and I think it's the same DJ we just. Oh no, I think this DJ is also the DJ for Jen's party, or I don't know. It's Utah. I mean, let's face it. It's like a bunch of white guys.
I feel things. Like yeah, I feel like so this woman Catherine, who owns this place, who has this house. She owns a place called Park City Live, which is like the main club in Park City. And Heather says, she's the queen of Sundance, but don't tell Lisa. And I kind of feel like, was Catherine supposed to be a cast member on this? Because I would love to see, like, a Catherine and Lisa Park City club rivalry going on.
I have a feeling that she will be a cast member next year. I'll bet you anything she will, because she's up to the challenge. She's super shady already. I mean, she only says, like, two things, and they're both pretty good shade. And yeah, I think they'll get rid of Jen. Well, do you think they'll get rid of Jen? I don't know. Cause I mean, here we are still talking about her.
No, they're going to keep Jen, of course. But I think that they would keep Catherine. I mean, she was also wearing this little fur thing on her shoulders, which was very much like, hey, cameras, check me out. I could be a new housewife.
Yeah. So, basically everyone's just chatting. And this is where Catherine says, yeah, I thought Lisa was coming, so I bought her tequila. Oh, Sundance. I know. Okay, Don Julio, everybody. Don Julio.
Yeah. And then they toast to Justin Rose's birthday. The sexiest motherfucker in here. I was like, now, who was that directed? Was that for Justin? The sexiest motherfucker in here? Okay.
Yeah. You got to be careful what you say in this crowd. That's
well,
for
he's
sure.
repped by Well I Mina Agency.
Oh, and Jen's like, where's Marianne Cosby? Is she here? And Mary is there, but they're all kind of ignoring her. But she's like not really
in the corner.
Yeah. Mary, at one point, you just see her standing by these couches all alone, and then she just goes.
She just throws
her arm up in the air, and that's all she does. And then she kind of starts dancing with herself. Yeah. And they're not really talking to her, but she's not making an effort. So she finally walks over to the group of girls and pulls Jen aside. And she's like, look, I don't want to fight. Okay, I don't want to fight. And we go to commercial. What's going to happen? Mm-hmm. So we come back and Mary's like, you know what? Like, how are you feeling? I mean, come on. This is crazy. This is crazy, Jen. And Jen's like, we can talk about this another time, but you hurt my feelings because I really care about you, Mary.
And Mary goes, well, what? Okay. Well, yeah, okay. She really cares. Yeah. Mary goes, well, what I said, you can't think that I shut you down because I just was ignoring what you were saying or something like that. I was like, so you didn't shut her down, you just ignored her, which I guess is okay to do. Okay.
And Jen's like, but I was just trying to honor you, Mary, and show you where it came from because you asked us to share things. But then when I shared, it triggered you to interrupt at that point.
Yeah. And Mary's like, well, listen, you know, at that burlesque party, you called me like a grandfather MF-er, you know? And Jen's like, I never said anything, and only a grandpa motherfucker would think that, okay?
She's like, I would never say anything like that. And then they show the clip of her being like, grandfather fucker!
And Mary fucked her grandfather!
It cuts back, and she's like, I never said that. She goes, but you were screaming it at me. I mean, come on. Like, you know I'm a factual person.
Yeah.
Which is also hilarious. I mean, these two are ridiculous.
I mean, Mary is factual. For instance, would a factual person lie about carbonation hardening your ovaries? I don't think so. That's a fact.
And so, Jen's like, well, I was drinking that night, so to be honest, I don't remember, but I know I didn't say anything to her face because I didn't even talk to her that night. Now, did I say it to someone else? I don't know.
Possibly.
Possible.
And Mary's like, you're fake. And then she just like hard blinks. You're fake.
Yeah. So she tells her, well, if you say you didn't say it, then let's just move on and put stuff under a bridge.
Let's put some stuff under a bridge and see what happens.
Yeah. So she decides she doesn't like her. And of course, this party, these are totally the kind of people who don't do this. Shot, 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 shot.
They don't even
shot,
say
shot,
it on beat. They go like, shot, 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 shots. And you're like, wait, no, that's not how you do it. Shot, 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 shots. So now it's a new day, and we're at the Meredith Marks Boutique, your one-stop destination for fashion in the world capital of fashion known as Park City. So they're like, what should I pull for the fashion show? I want to make sure this fashion show is as fashionable as a fashion show can be.
Yeah. Listen, Park City is located outside of Salt Lake City, and it's a cultural hub. And every year, Sundance puts on it gets an international spotlight, and now we have Fashion Week. I'll be walking my own jewelry and Mikel Maddox clothing, and Brooks is going to show his suits.
Yeah, Brooks has a line of tracksuits and sweatsuits. So, and Sally, her business partner, is like, hey, Brooks, I actually sold some sweatsuits to you, you know, this week. And Meredith's like, well, we love that. I love that from afar. I'm too busy.
I love that from the New York Magazine party.
I love that from the WME lounge. I'm too busy. Can't answer your call. I love that. Hey, Sean.
So Brooks is like, Mom, is Dad coming this weekend? She's like, no, honey. He really wanted to, but he can't. But I really wanted him to support my fashion show.
All right, you're doing tracksuits in Park City. You're not in New York City. You're not in Milan. I hate to be snobby about this, but let's be realistic. You're doing tracksuits in Park City. It's a nice event, and I'm very happy for you. I know I'd be happy if I were doing something similar to that, but let's not be ridiculous, okay? Yeah. Also, your dad's a putz. So don't expect anything more from him.
This will make you feel better. Your dad sucks, all right, kid?
This is in line with what you're... Like, don't get your hopes up. He's a putz. So you'd be better just, like, accepting he's a putz and just, like, have a nice moment at this fashion show.
Yeah, so Meredith is guilty. She feels guilty because it's kind of her fault Seth isn't coming. And she just kind of twitches at the camera. And Brooks is like...
twitches at the camera.
She does. She just kind of shakes her head, like... And then Brooks is like, oh, Chloe isn't coming, Reed isn't coming, Dad isn't coming, like nobody's coming. And she's like, I'm here, Sally's here, Maddox Max is here, I mean, don't we count?
I'm not going to be there, I'm too busy, but I love that.
I'm there, just kidding, hybrid souls, kill the wolf.
Hi, Sean, I'm not at the fashion show. Busy.
So then we go to Lisa's kids, who are stuck with their babysitter, their little shit-stirring babysitter.
Well, because Lisa's at the she's at an event for McMillions, which I found to be one of several disappointing HBO documentaries of 2020.
Yeah, you started
off really well. Started off really well, and then it needed to be two episodes, and it went on for like six episodes, and it was like, look at my poor life, I partook in a Monopoly scam. So there's McMillian stuff everywhere, and she's like, this event is completely open to the public, and we're giving away prizes and cash, and it's those game pieces that were so coveted in the 90s. I'm not allowed to say Monopoly on Bravo, apparently, but I will say sorry. Get it? It's another game. Get it?
That's a game without... I just gleeked all over the place. That's a game without pillable walls. The walls in here are pillable. They're pillable.
Pull the wall. Pull the wall. I love that. Can I touch? I can actually touch. I can touch and pull. Can I pull? Can I pull? Can I pass go?
And then we see Vita bottles everywhere, of course. And she's like, the Sundance Queen never disappoints.
I love it.
So then we go to the babysitter, who's a little shitster. She's like, have you even seen your mother? I guess I'll call her. So she dials, and the kids are like, yeah, we never see her. And so she's trying to call her, and Lisa sees the call and just hangs, like, she declines it.
Yeah.
And she's like any working mother, we have to compartmentalize. Like, you have to, like, kill it with your kids, kill it at home, or kill that thing between the table room. So, you know what? Mommy dance Sundance, mommy Sundance mommy is like, am I? All right?
During Sundance? Mommy is MIA. I do not answer my phone unless it's work-related or hybrid stool-related, okay? The kids can fend for themselves. That's why I gave them machine guns. Love that.
And the babysitter's like, oh my god, she declined it. It's like, good job making them feel better, lady.
Enjoy your Buffalo Wild Wings, kids. Mm. So, or BW squared if you're real hip. So, then Heather meets up with Whitney at a bar. And Whitney orders a Mexican mule, and Heather's like, oh my god, a Mexican mule? I learn something from you every time, Whitney. Now, what do you call that thing with the vodka in the soda? Vodka soda? Oh my god, I'm learning so much right now. My pioneer ancestors would be shocked.
My god, my ancestors came over in wagons for this drink.
So, yeah, Heather talked about how it's weird to be drinking in a bar in Utah because all the drinks are watered down because the Mormon lobby is so strong that they have, made laws that say drinks can't be strong and you can only have two glasses on a table at some point or something like that.
Yeah, so they start talking about the birthday party and Heather's like, oh my god, you had so much fun. You killed it. I mean, you, like, your spouse, and he was taking shots off your belly button. I love that Justin just embraces you where you're at. Like, that is so great. Like, her husband embraces her where she's at. It's not like she decided to start, like, a finger painting career, and he's supporting it. Okay? He's supporting her, like, lap dancing him and having him take body shots. I think that's a pretty easy thing for a husband to support.
Yeah, I think so. And yeah, and I'm not even sure what Whitney even does for her career, if she has one. So yeah, it's pretty easy to accept her. So Heather's like starts saying how, like, in a way, watching her and Justin, it breaks her heart because it's what Heather should have had. You know, she chose faith over love. She chose lifestyle over love. And she has deep regret over her choices because, you know, she doesn't regret the children that she has, but she has regret because she basically was never single. She never slept around. And that does suck because if you're known as the good time girl and you didn't even get to be slutty because of it, that's a bummer.
Yeah. And Whitney's like, your version of a fairy tale exists. You just need to put yourself out there.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, I don't, because men in Utah suck, okay? Like, they don't do anything. Utah sucks. I just need to go to, like, a big city or something and find guys, you know? Like, I mean, I've tried, girl. I have tried. I went on Bumble for, like, 2 weeks.
I'm like, that's not trying.
So I've tried.
That's not trying. You have to do it for 6 years first. 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Whitney's like, well, you're making excuses, etc. And, you know, it's just funny because she's like, Heather's like, you know, I just can't find any older, you know, single men in Utah that don't come from a Mormon perspective, you know, that think that I'm just like a disaster or whatever. I'm like, maybe this is the time where you should just move.
just move. Yeah, she's like one of those people who's rebelling against where she came from, but she's also so about where she came from, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
There's no good single men in Utah. And Whitney's like, well, what do you want exactly? And she's like, I just want a man who sees me and who loves me. And that's impossible in Utah. Like, I want a man who's like, there's oatmeal in the dishwasher. Sounds delicious.
Yeah, I want to be where the people are and then have sex with each and every one of them.
And Whitney's like, I know, you can get your fairy tale. Look at me. I have an old chubby guy drinking cheap vodka out of my linty belly. Dreams.
I think it's cute that that someone's striving for a fairy tale while they're simultaneously a reality star on Bravo. Those are two things that don't really quite work out. It's usually fairy tale destruction, but that's fine.
Yeah.
So now we go over to Jen's house, and their crew is there setting up for her party. And there's a woman named Mara who's a party planner, and Stuart's there. And Jen's like, who is hiking in my backyard right now? Oh, it's the hot tub maintenance people. Yeah. They should announce themselves.
You get shot when you walk in people's yards. So then, we are at Jen's party now. I think it's a stolen DJ. I don't know why that bothered me. It just seems like something they should mention in Housewives. Like, did you steal my DJ for your party?
Well, growing up, you know, there was like, there was always like a DJ who did all the bar mitzvahs in my neighborhood. Like there was this guy with like a mustache. And then in college, there was a DJ who did all the fraternity formals, and he had an assistant who had like a hook hand. He had like a literal, like he lost his hand somewhere. So he actually had like a hook. And wow. So there's always like, you know, I think it's common that you have like DJs who sort of service a community.
Yeah, your local DJ.
And they're hook-handed assistants, like Buster on Res Development.
So the party's like so glam, you guys. Sha-sha-la! And we find out that Tony was supposed to have a screening somewhere else, but it fell through, so it's in her living room. And she tells us a little bit about his film. It's a he has a rap group or something, and they represent Tongans, guys. So it's like a big deal. So she goes to meet him and his friends, and she's like, "You can call me Jay Boogie."
They're like, "No thanks." I also felt like half the people at this party looked like Jennifer Connelly. I was like, "Is that Jennifer Connelly? Did she actually come to? Is this really like Sundance magic happening?" Like, oh no, it's not. It's not Jennifer Connelly. Like, just like in general, there's like a good amount of Jennifer Connelly. Like, I think that she's
like,
I
Jennifer
think she's
Connelly
more of
a vibe. That's how you know the tourists are here, when there's a lot of like brunette people. It's like, ugh, Jennifer Connelly's here.
So Heather shows up. "Nice Oscar. We still remember what happened in Requiem for a Dream, Jennifer Connelly."
Oh, I know. I feel bad every time I see her. I'm like, poor thing.
Well, yes. I love Jennifer Connelly. What am I saying?
Yeah.
So Heather shows up, and she's like, "When I think of Sundance, I think about a brush with the big life, a brush with fancy, and a chance to meet so many people from everywhere." I'm like, well, or you could just be at Jen's house with the same DJ from the party from last night.
Yeah, and she's basically de-shopping, but she's like, "This is a feeding frenzy for me." And then you see her just hugging this gay guy. He's like, "Hey, baby, you look fabulous." I was like, well, this is your problem, you know?
Yeah.
This is how you're shopping for D right now.
She's literally acting like she is like a resident of Brigadoon, and like the town has opened and people can come into it. And she's like, "Finally, new dick has arrived in Brigadoon."
So Katie and Lala come in, and they're pretty Katie and Lala about it. They're just like,
Katie Maloney Schwartz, you mean?
Yeah. Lala looks completely fucking crazy at this point. Like, she has changed her face so much. It's crazy looking. And then she's got makeup that's like total White Walker makeup. It's kind of that contouring makeup, I guess, but it's like silver paint on her face, like a silver base. And there's a lot going on. They don't seem like they're doing very well, is what I'm saying.
Well, it's hard to believe considering their contributions to cinema. So Whitney's like, "Well, I know Lala through a mutual friend named a producer at Bravo. And when I heard that Lala was in town for the premiere for her new movie Spree, I insisted to Jen that she invite them to her party because they are so much fun."
Yeah.
Which is not in evidence at all at this episode. They basically just stand around like, okay, cross promotion, do what you have to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't think it was going to be much, but I thought it was going to be more than this.
I know.
Really?
I know.
So then Tony gives a speech. He's like, "I want to thank my sister Jen. There's only one way to do Sundance, and it's in someone's living room. So let's watch this film." And I was like, this is how you're screening it? Just everybody standing around watching it? Oh, no. Hell no. I would leave.
Yeah, I really want
to
know
stand
how long
and watch a movie.
Yeah, I don't like standing and watching movies. I can sit, but I don't like standing. So so now Lala's talking to Heather and asking if she's in a relationship. And Heather's like, "No, no." And Katie's like, "Well, are you trying?" And they're basically like, "You're like, you have to get laid. You have to get laid."
Basically, yeah. But they're also doing that thing. It's like when you're in a, you know, they're in a relationship, so that's all they want to talk about. "Are you in a relationship? Oh, yeah. Are you dating? Well, why aren't you dating? Why aren't you in a relationship? Oh, my God, you could be in a relationship. I believe in you. You could find a relationship." Shut up, you two. You've got Tom Schwartz and you've got fucking Rand. Can we please get off our high horse?
Please. So then, Jen, there's a guy named Curtis there that Jen sees, and she decides to set up Heather with him. So Heather goes over to him and he's standing by a projector and she goes, "Hey, I appreciate your badass printer." And he's like, "It's a projector." She goes, "I know, I was just joking." just trotting out some of that good old-fashioned film projector humor.
Yes, and it's really pocket. It's really loud in there, and so she's yelling at him. She's yelling up, and she's really hoarse, and so she's like, "Yeah, I'm just joking. Girls like men with big equipment. I noticed it before you. You're just a consolation prize for your thing." He's just like looking at her like she's absolutely crazy, and it was the most awkward fucking thing. I thought, this poor girl is going through all of this, and he's just gonna walk away from her.
Yeah, but instead, they flirt pretty, like, he's actually like laughing and stuff, and she basically like does a hard sell, and she's like, "I'm not gonna let another cougar take this guy away." I'm going for it, you know.
Yeah.
And they leave together.
Yeah, he goes, "I gotta put some stuff in my truck." She's like, "I'm in," and he just takes her hand and they leave to bang in the truck, I'm assuming. Like, damn, Heather, go Heather.
And then Whitney cracks one of her crazy Whitney jokes. She goes, As I see Heather leaving with Curtis, I want to yell out, "Remember who you are, return with honor." You know, all those things our Mormon parents said to us when we were younger.
I'm going to start saying that. Return with your honor. So Meredith, it's time for this fashion show. Do they have a lot of water? I mean, Salt Lake City. I guess so, right? Is that glaciers. A lake?
Not glaciers, but snow.
Because it says...
Salt Lake is a lake. Yeah, Salt Lake is... There's a lake.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was funny because it says, "Seabirds calling," you know, in the closed captioning. And I was like, oh.
Seabirds. Well, those seabirds are like, our pioneer seabird ancestors brought us away from the coast. Damn them.
Yeah, they migrate in tiny little covered wagon things that fly.
I imagine a seabird would be very at home there, and it is a salt lake. So
it's, well, there you go.
Salt water. So they're like, we get all the perks of the ocean, but we get the joys of an inland experience.
Has anybody asked you that before? "Hey, Ben, could you help me with something? Does Salt Lake City have like a lake?"
You never know.
Ding dong! So
Meredith, so Brooks has this crazy mask on that feels like he has like five different masks on his face all at once.
He does.
And Brooks is like, "Mom, can you call Kim and tell her I'm going to be 15 minutes late?" And she's like, "It's not professional to have your mother call, so you're going to need to make the call yourself." He's like,
Bronx gets very anxious. And then cuts to Brooks going, "Where's my vent roller? I need a vent roller. Should I text her I'm going to be late? Is it okay if I text her? I need a lint roller." Beep, beep, beep,
beep, beep. So like the fire alarm goes off.
What the hell?
Please leave me. The house is basically saying like, it's like the opposite of a haunted house. It's like, just, I'm not going to kill you. Just go. Leave me alone. I need a moment, okay?
It's just trying to get rid of them. It's beeping, and Brooks just keeps repeating himself over and over. He goes, "What the hell? Were you cooking something? Were you cooking something? Were you cooking something? Were you cooking something?
Were you cooking something? I need my lint roller." And then the toilet is overflowing, and it's massively over. There's like a huge amount of water. Like, this is going to be a mold issue. But it's like also setting off an alarm for some reason. I don't know why. And Brooks is like, Mom. I'm coughing. I've got my own fire alarm going off in my throat. So he's yelling. He's like, Are you cooking? And she can't get the fire alarm to go off. And he's like, I can't do this right now.
What the hell? The toilet, Mom. What the hell, Mom?
Dog shits.
I'm trying to call the maintenance people. I can't do this. What the hell? We have an urgent situation. The toilet overflowed and it's setting off the alarms. And congratulations as a part of Park City because you're getting a fashion show.
And then they just leave. I don't know what. I'm like, I guess I'll just leave with their toilet running. So then we go over to the Park City fashion show. And Whitney shows up looking like Caroline Stanberry, if you ask me. And she's getting ready to walk in the show. Because, you know, history. She's about to make. It's going to be a history-making fashion show for Park City. And Brooks and Meredith show up 45 minutes late. And he's like, growing up, growing up, I just always idolized everything about Sundance. And now, like, I'm part of it. And I don't even know how I got this opportunity. Actually, I do. It's my mom.
I'm like, he's like, obviously.
You're also not part of Sundance. Just, you know, I had to rain on his parade. It's a very adorable parade, but I'm raining on it. It's not Sundance. It's
but you are a big part of Sundance. Buffalo Wild Wings today. Okay, so let's not forget that, sir.
You are.
So then Meredith and Whitney are getting hair and makeup, and Meredith goes, you know what? We're just going to have to try not to trip on the stairs. And they just, like, keep playing her laugh.
So then guess what? Hey, Brooks, Dad sent a text. He's like, Brooksy, I'm so proud of you. Today's your day. You're off to great places. Your mountain is waiting, so get on your fucking way. Okay, bye, motherfucker.
And he's like, can I wish Dad was here? Dad's not coming. Chloe's not coming. What the hell? Are you cooking something?
I need my lint roller. Brooks, you're not 8 anymore, okay? There will be events that mom and dad can't make it to.
So he's like, when she says, so I saw dad sent a text, he goes, can you open it? Yeah. So he watches it and he's like,
anxiety.
He's like, it's very disheartening that dad isn't coming and can't support my first show. He's like, yeah, I'm your mommy of my kids, I wear the boy and I'm a terrible parent.
And he goes, it's fine. My feelings aren't important. I'm like, Brooks, he's literally taking over a company. Don't make me defend your father because he's a douchebag.
Yeah, don't make us defend your father. You were just handed this fucking opportunity, you little privileged fuck, after being given all this money to make your tracksuits in the first place that your father taping your label onto. So shut your face.
I know. Exactly.
You little brat. Exactly. And so Meredith's like, well, I don't want to hurt my kids. And she's like sitting there crying in this weird ice skating dress. And she's like, yeah, her parents went through a divorce when she was a kid. And now she's doing this to her kids. And then it just cuts to Brooks going like, I need a lint roller.
Meanwhile, their house is fully submerged in toilet water.
Yeah, and dog poop. We didn't mention that there's dog poop all over the floor.
Everything went wrong.
And that brings us to the end of The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Everybody, thank you so much for being here. This is actually our last Salt Lake City recap until the new year, because guess what? Next week, we're not recapping it, because it's a holiday.
We're going on vacation, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, apparently there are going to be new episodes. I'm not sure if there are or not.
Yeah.
Either way, we will be going on vacay starting in the middle of next week. So, we'll be back with Salt Lake City, you know, in January.
Yeah, we're still going to watch it. So, we'll update you on those episodes when we come back with our new recaps. But, after Wednesday, we're off for a week. So, see ya, suckers.
See ya. Well, we're off, but we're not off. Like, the podcast, we actually have some fun stuff coming up the week between Christmas and New Year's.
We sure do. We have four really special episodes.
Yeah, yeah. So I think you guys are going to really, really enjoy them a lot.
I do, too. I concur. So, everybody, I'm not saying goodbye for Christmas because we still got, like, 18,000 episodes to do before that ever hits. So we'll still be here. Southern Charm comes out tomorrow. Then we'll be back with an almost full slate next week. So stay with us. Thanks for being with us. If you want to watch these videos, go get on Crappens On Demand on Patreon. And thank you guys who are here on Patreon supporting us. We love you. And we will talk to you tomorrow.
Bye, love that. Bye, Sean. Bye, Sean. Bye, Sean.
Hybrid chair. Hybrid
chair. I love that. Can I touch?
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie, higher than high res, she's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't
touch the Nicky Morgan letters.
He makes us squee, Richie D.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy, Cease and Desisto. Better Than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa, it's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland you.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.